The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, August 19th, and a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today we have Ministry of Culture. That's Ministry of Culture, right? I just realized your mic is not in front of you. Yes, Ministry of Youth, but no, you specifically culture. Yes, that's what we're good. We have the Assistant Director, Ms. Portia Sands, here again. I'm always excited when she's here because she's always announcing some big thing the Department of Culture is doing. I call it Ministry of Culture, and Erin and I keep on debating on whether I should call it Ministry of Culture or the Department of Culture, but I like saying big things. Culture is big business. So if I say it's a Ministry of Culture, people will... But the entire ministry is Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture. And Ms. Sands is the assistant director of culture there. And she's going to be telling us about this big thing that they did recently. But before we do that, right, I wanted to conclude the conversation that we were having on the On The Clock show with Erin Green regarding grades. Because I did ask Erin, what should we be doing, right? And I didn't want to leave that in the air because I know a number of people were listening. And we mentioned that we may be able to speak on it. We've been receiving poor grades for decades now. Mm-hmm. When I say for decades, over BGCSE is now 31 years now. 31 years later, we seem to be failing. And I can use the word seem because I don't like blaming people, right? Mm-hmm. So I can use the key word here, seem to be failing. And I want to know, what can we do to improve this grade level? Because we always say that it is what it is, right? The Ministry of Education always trying to explain, well, we're improving incrementally, mm-hmm. right? Smallly, but we're improving. But we can't be satisfied with 7%. We can't be satisfied with 10%, especially when around the world people are at 90%.
Mm-hmm. And we can't be satisfied with a D. So the first thing is to stop saying that a D is satisfactory. Okay. If you keep saying it, then you're going to create that in people's minds that I don't need to work harder.
So now we need to establish what is the satisfactory grade that we want a minimum student to have. Just throw it a grade. You get that. I'm satisfied.
None less than a B minus.
Not even a C?
No, none less than. This would be aiming for.
No, not I said what you're aiming for. I said what's a satisfactory grade. Eamon,
special needs kids can get A's in special needs curricula. Just because they're special needs don't mean, we just expect them to get a C. The curriculum is designed for the student. So the first thing is, let's stop saying that a D is satisfactory.
Okay.
Right? Second thing is this.
So B is now satisfactory.
What I'm saying that is, if my special needs kids or if somebody gets a B, I'm not gonna die. I'm not gonna beat them up over it. I'm gonna accept a B because there are other extenuating factors and circumstances that are beyond everybody's control. Like, ain't nobody know when the power can go off, and ain't nobody know when it can come on, right? So we say let's just start with a B. Here's the next thing. I think that we have a cultural problem where we are infantilizing our students and expecting them to be able to maximize their best potential. The way that we teach, the way that we manage the environment in which people teach and in which people learn is detrimental to the learning experience. It is a plantation model. It diminishes the student. It makes them think they're lesser than, because you have to be lesser than the teacher to be in this room. Right? And that's the model that we use. You can't create genius. You can't allow genius to flourish if the overall premise is you are lesser than me and you need to know that to be able to receive this education.
Do you believe, and we're about to transition now, you believe all Bahamians who are taking BGCSEs, and we're talking about BGCSEs now, should be at least able to get a C grade?
Yeah, without a doubt. Definitely.
Are you saying, when I say all Bahamians?
All. Here's the next thing. In terms of the infantilization, right? We could look at the model. Maybe we need to adopt a Norway model where you spend like a half of the day, the school day, in the classroom, And then the other half of the school day is applying what it is you learn in the classroom. So an apprentice style where you pick up your subjects early and half is theory and the other half is application. Because we have kids who are living adult lives and having adult responsibilities. And then you bring them into this classroom where you completely infantilize them.
What about those people who critique that a number of students are not academically inclined? So we should not expect them to get at least a C grade in math and English, but they should just learn trade and don't worry about math and English.
No, you need math and English for trade. That's the most foolish thing. You need math and English for trade. Just because they're not academically inclined, it doesn't mean that they don't take math and English. It means that you don't expect them to take calculus 301 and pass. That's what it means. But that student in that technical vocation course will be using elements of calculus 301 that are broken down and brought to them in modules that they could understand when they're in that mechanics course, right? Like, you have to understand how torque works so that you could understand why you need to fasten the tire properly, because if you don't, the tire can fly off while the people them taking the curve. Even as a Bush mechanic, there are elements of calculus 301 that you need. Our problem is, I think, at a soft skills level, where the environment in which we force people to teach and learn is devoid of the things like empathy that you need for true teaching and true learning. And so a part of it is change, fixing the environment. For many students, they're going to need residential educational spaces because they got to unlearn the things that they're learning in their communities in school.
So in conclusion, and I see we have a caller here, we're going to include this caller. All Bahamian students need at least take math and English.
Without a doubt.
With a minimum of a C grade.
Right, which can be achieved when courses are designed for the students to capture them where they are, that understand how they're going to, how they move forward, and can walk them through that journey.
Okay. Let's go to this caller, and then we'll transition. Again, we have Assistant Director Ms. Portia Sands from the Department of Culture, and she's talking about his 8 books, 8 storytelling books, which is big news in the Bahamas, actually. It's a demand now, and I'm excited about the whole program, and I want to know more information about it. Aaron already took all the books and didn't let me see any, but that's okay.
You see the titles on these?
Yeah, we can say all the titles. I'm excited about reading these. I wonder how much they cost, because I live on a budget in the Acklands. Anyway, let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller.
Morning, how are you?
Doing well.
Morning.
Aaron.
Yes, ma'am.
You think that you are in the classroom
mm-hmm.
in terms of what we teach and what we ought to be teaching.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the mathematics and even the basic English, I would just like to say there's something known as work experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that was introduced to Stapleton School by myself back in the 80s, and what we did was we used the morning session to teach theory or, you know, that kind of thing, and we contacted the various workplaces and hotels and had our youngsters go in for so-called work experience, and we taught to that, and it included mathematics. And what it did, too, assisted these youngsters in terms of getting their jobs. There were students from the school who worked in this work experience program at our various hotels
mm-hmm.
who spent practically all their work lives there. And because they were so good at what they did, they earned themselves employee
of the year,
the month
yeah.
or the year whilst they were there. So it is possible to teach so-called basic maths. I'll tell you, when I was in school, and we had to do calculus or what is the other thing, the tangent and
mm-hmm.
tangent and the rest of it.
Yes, ma'am.
Guess what? I should be ashamed to say so, but I'm not, because I didn't know I would abuse it anyway. I used to ask to be excused until the subject was over. But we can teach to our so-called slow learners and the rest of it
mm-hmm.
if we indeed learn about the various crafts
yes.
in our country, in our nation,
yes.
and teach to that. Our children can learn, And, you know, not because you didn't get a C or a D or E, that doesn't mean that you cannot learn or you didn't learn.
Exactly.
But, we now need to learn to show appreciation for the interests of our youngsters who are called slow learners. And I think we need to make, in some instances, we need to make our classes more motivating. Because if we teach above the children's heads and interests, you will definitely lose them. But you all are doing a good show. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. I'm still concerned about teaching the verbiage teach above their heads. Should all students be able to get at least a C grade?
Yes, all students should be able to get at least a C grade. All students should be in classes designed for them, right? So when I was in the top math stream. There were classes, right? Then they stepped it down. Then there was stream B, then there was stream C, right? Those students can improve at their level, and with intense work, they can achieve in the A stream as well.
But all schools do that now. All schools. Academic stream, they have the business stream, and for the examination. But for some reason, we have the people who end up in the quotes business stream are not getting the grades. What are we doing wrong?
And when you say business stream, it suggests to me that that's all they teach in them.
They teach them to go to the core level, the C grade.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking not about keeping them. A C stream is just to teach to the C grade.
For that subject?
No. That C stream means that these students learn differently.
Yeah.
They need a more intensive approach. They're learning the same things, but they're learning them differently. Right? That's all.
But my point is, it's 7% passing. We ain't moving there. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a crisis.
Anyway.
And there's some great text here, Mr. Newry.
Yeah.
I want Tempia.
Read the text. And then
quickly. It says, quickly. Aaron, even though I know you don't want to hear this, do you think that the language barrier, because of the influx of French-speaking migrants, slowing down the entire class and affecting all the kids' grades? No, here's what it is. Poor class management, resource allocation is the problem. Multi-language speaking students actually improve the learning experience in a space when the space is properly designed. So what it is that we are, there's a definite sign of crisis because we haven't seen the value or been able to take advantage of the presence of bilingual, of multi-language speaking students. We didn't seek out the teachers fast enough to incorporate that. Because all of your students then could have been speaking two languages minimum until they reached the point where they could now say, hey, I have a basic grasp of this, of French and Creole. Now I could focus on Spanish. We missed an opportunity to provide or create a better learning experience across the board because of a lack of empathy.
Good. We have one more caller there.
And then I can take a picture of the text and send them to you for further conversation at another time.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah.
Morning.
Yeah, you know, I beg to differ with that ideal. You know, we're not looking at numerology. We don't have any data saying that the migrant crisis isn't affecting the educational system because I live in the inner city, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 60, and I know a lot of them. And they are no smarter than any Bahamian. A lot of them drop out of school. They're absorbed into the gang culture. And so it was more of them than us. Why can't they be contributing to this? Another contributing factor, something you mentioned, is very crucial. The environment, the gang culture within the schools that we are downplaying and not acknowledging the severity of the gang culture in creating an environment that's not conducive to learning. And this is what I'm speaking about. Another elephant in the room that I'm hearing is the fact that for years they've been saying there was only a 50% graduation rate within the government schools. Now, when I left S.C. McPherson in grade 7, and I went to St. John's, I been in the classrooms that I never learned Latin, and I was doing Spanish in SC, but I had problems with Latin, but by grade 9, I was getting A's. So every year, I did better. My last year in high school was when I did my best. So it doesn't, in other words, education, I am of the ideal that education is a two-edged sword. It actually infuriates people And it makes people feel superior, and then they use their education to suppress. So people hear me on the airways thinking, and that's why somebody accused me of knowing it all, right? That's BS. And that's why I read a lot. So education continues after even high school. So you guys are talking about certain things like tangents and trigonometry, et cetera, but what about continuous fractions and integers? There's a lot. Math is very complicated. Some of it is not applicable, right? But, you know, I mean, just give us a break. But what about the fact that 50% is not graduating? What about the potential of these young men? Some of these guys are very intelligent. I conversate with them, and I'm surprised that the common sense they use when their knowledge stops. So you don't have to be smart, you know. You could just use logic and common sense, and apparently not, a lot of us are not doing that. And our politics, see, people say don't blame the government, but when you look at it, why did we allow this to happen? We see a 50% not graduating and 50% graduating within the government schools. We see the disparity or the educational divide, even the digital divide as far as government schools and private schools, even as relate to logistics and armament material for chemistry and biology and all these different things in the lab. But those government schools are inferior in some ways. You know, it's just a losing battle. Give thanks, man. You know, we don't worry. We don't acknowledge the truth. That's our problem.
Okay. Let's transition.
I send a screenshot. So their text is, Mr. Newry has captured the screenshots to continue the conversation at another time.
Yes. Director, Assistant Director Portia Sands, welcome again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good. It's always good when you're here, and we're talking culture now. You got 8 books published. Something big happened at the ministry, the part where the program allowed 8 books to be published. I want to hear about what this program is about.
Okay, so every summer we have a summer program. Our ministry put on summer programs. And for the past several years, the Department of Culture has, we've expanded our focus. And one of the areas we recognized that has been neglected was the literary aspect of our culture. And so we have made great efforts to expand in that area. So what we've done over the past 2 years was we took on young people.
When you say young people, how old
is it? Age 15 and up. And we've asked them, do you want to write during the summer? Well, most of them don't want to write during the summer. It reminds them of school. But there are some who really like to write. And so this year we offered it as an apprenticeship program. We will pay you to write.
Okay. Nice.
And your pay, not anything exorbitant, but, you know, some nice little summer money. Mm-hmm. And it was based on your qualifications. You have to have, the prerequisite is at least English BJC.
Okay.
Because we don't want this to be a struggle. We want this to be, you know, somebody who know the fundamentals. And so we actually had two groupings. One was writing for film. Script writing for film, mm-hmm. And then the other was storytelling and writing. The group that did script writing for film, they did a group script, and then they did individual scripts. And from the group script, we did a beautiful script. It was so beautiful. It was about bullying and all of that. And so those persons, they walked away with their bound script in hand. And that's we did it last year as well. This year, we pushed our storytelling and writers to publish books. And that's the 8 books that you see now.
Why did you push them to write books?
Because a lot of times we write, and the writing, there's no goal in mind. You write and say, oh, that was a nice story. And it's placed on the shelf somewhere. The paper gets lost. Nobody remembers it. But we need to have a focus, a reason for writing. And we need to capture the essence of our culture in our stories.
You mentioned culture inside in the stories, and I see the listing of names. These are Bahamian stories. You mentioned Anansi. I haven't read an Anansi book in decades. In fact, I thought that's one of those defunct culture things that we have, that we gave up on, because there's no new story. It's old stories from yesteryears. But to know that we have young adults who produce new work on Anansi, that's something that needs to be heralded,
right? And let me go and try name the titles of these books, if I may.
Yes, go ahead.
This is all the titles of the books, because it's 8 books that got published from this summer program.
No, it's only 7 here. You holding out on...
It's only 7?
Yeah, you holding out on...
Okay, I missed one. Okay. My apologies.
Adeline's Prophecy.
Uh-huh. And name our authors, please.
Right. Sorry. Esther Goodman
is
the author of Adeline's Prophecy.
So and let me just give you a little information here.
Please,
Esther is actually a student from Andros.
Okay.
When we went to Andros for the National Arts Festival at Huntley Christie High School, Esther sang a song. It was so impressive. And I was asking our music officer, I was like, I don't know this song. Do you know this song? She said, no, this girl must have written this song herself. And so afterwards I said to her, I said, who wrote this song? She said, I did. Then several students came and they did individual verses. And it was by the same young lady, Esther Goodman. Mm. I said, hold on, you are a writer. Are you able to come to Nassau for the month of July? You have somewhere to stay? She said, yes, ma'am. I said, you're going to be in my writing program.
There you go. Give opportunity.
So let's read the excerpt on the back of the book. This is Adeline's Prophecy by Esther Goodman.
Yes.
Blurb. They call it blurb.
They call it the blurb.
Yes.
I learned that. Yeah. Blurb.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Adeline is a young girl with an extraordinary gift. She can see how people will die. Or so she thought. As we follow a snippet of her life, Adeline struggles with the weight of her gift and her desperate fight to save a classmate who has become a dear friend. As the story unfolds, she discovers her abilities are even more profound, allowing her to feel the pain and inner turmoil of others. Adeline's Prophecy is a gripping tale and the true power of Adeline's Prophecy.
And the book is called Adeline's Prophecy by Miss Esther Goodman. You know how old is she?
Esther,
she's a student?
Yeah, she just graduated in June.
She's about 17, 18.
Yeah, 17, 18. She has her own book.
Yes.
Nice.
Okay.
What's the next book?
The Height of a Dream by Devanya Mackey.
Okay, let's see. Any information on Devanya Mackey?
Devanya, I think she's also a high school graduate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes. All right. Most of them are high school graduates.
Like 12th graders,
yes.
Just graduating.
Yes.
All right. Dallas, a 4'11" basketball prodigy from Eleuthera, Bahamas, dreams of playing in the NBA despite his short stature. Battling bullying and strict height requirements for his high school team, Dallas resorts to using height-increasing insoles to pursue his passion. Along his journey, he faces numerous challenges and learns valuable lessons about authenticity, perseverance, and the true measure of an athlete's worth. The Height of a Dream emphasizes that passion, determination, and character are more important than physical attributes in achieving one's dreams.
And all of these books seem to be centered in the Bahamas. It's taking place in the Bahamas.
Yes.
Well, where can I purchase these books to make sure patronize these Bahamians, these young Bahamians?
Yes, and I want to say that even though they were done in our program, they have the copyrights to their own material.
Love it. So they own this book?
They own their books.
Oh, okay. It's good stuff.
Yes, and the books, they're available in the All Bahamian Bookstore through the Pages. It's downtown. It's, I think, about 3 or 4 doors east of East Street.
Okay.
So when the book is sold, they get the money?
Yes.
But you all publish it?
So when you buy Ms. Sands these books, because I take in the set here with me to the hospital, I need reading material. You know where to go.
Yes, I know where to go.
All right. Janelle Williams is the author of Renewed Farewells. Nicholas is a down-on-his-luck office worker who once had big dreams. Now he spends his days in a depressing work environment, unable to muster the will to strive for better. However, everything changes when Nick is presented with a sudden opportunity to pursue his dreams and perhaps find love along the way. Follow Nicholas Freed on his emotional journey through the highs and lows of chasing hope in a world that has lost its luster. Renewed Farewells is a poignant tale of love, loss, and the bittersweet pursuit of dreams.
So was there some kind of mentorship during the program? Like, how do we move these young adults to be good books and to be able to be published?
Definitely. We had an excellent facilitator. She herself is an author, And I think she did a fantastic job guiding these young people along. And they were so excited about it. They're already asking about next year internship program.
The possibilities.
Yeah. And they got paid.
And they got paid.
So this is A Strange Encounter by Cameron Hall.
The boy.
We had some males.
Okay, yeah. Nice.
In the Amazon rainforest, a wealthy entitled man faces a life-changing encounter with a desperate, impoverished laborer. This unexpected clash forces both men to reevaluate their values and priorities. As power and privilege shift, they learn that survival and resilience define true strength. A Strange Encounter is a gripping tale of transformation and the stark realities of human nature. I remember being stuck in the Andes rainforest once.
Is it reinforcing, Andres?
Yeah.
Like a pine forest.
I mean, but it was wet. It was raining.
Pine forest be dry. This is a rain one.
It was wet.
No. Yeah, some of them are wet. Yes.
You're lucky I get out the rainforest, Mr. Newton.
I'm glad you didn't go missing.
I did spend some time in the rainforest in Suriname. It was fascinating. Okay, so the next book is Maisha McPhee, The Everything Fairy. In a magical realm where each fairy possesses a unique talent, young Xena feels like an outsider for not discovering hers yet. When her sisters vanish under mysterious circumstances, leaving only a footprint, Xena gathers their gadgets and sets off on a daring journey to Fairy Island, Affair, T-I-L-D, to seek help. Alongside her fae turtle companion, Tulu, Xena navigates challenges and uncovers secrets that lead her closer to her sisters in a surprising revelation about her own abilities. Through bravery and determination, Xena learns that even those who feel overlooked can possess extraordinary potential.
So, Ms. Sands, how did these students choose their topics? Because these are nice topics, adult topics, mature topics, right? And to know that young people to select their topics and write their short novel, right? Short stories, Bohemian short stories. How did that happen?
We encourage them to write about what they know or what they're familiar with. There was no coercion in terms of what you must write.
Mm-hmm.
We just gave them the freedom to write. We gave them the template and guided them along. And listen, a lot of them already came with the stories in their head. Mm-hmm. Or with a short outline. A lot of them already
with, like,
came
with a character that has a life.
They already came with
already.
Something, correct. Yeah. And so we just gave them the opportunity to sit and to write.
To create.
And to get feedback from their peers.
The books have extraordinary graphics. How did that come about?
The publisher has been very instrumental in assisting with the covers, the graphic covers.
And who was the publisher? Was this published locally, or we sent it abroad and then brought back to the Bahamas?
It was the layout and everything was done here, but the printing itself was done abroad.
Okay. The next book, Tides Are Rising by Catherine Lloyd. Amidst a world engulfed by rising seas, a solitary hill stands as a final refuge against the encroaching waters. That's why it was going to be Morgan's Bluff or Como Hill, one of them too. On this precarious outpost, a young boy lives a bleak existence in the ruins of his home, documenting his days in somber journal entries. His pessimism is challenged when another boy arrives, a displaced newcomer with an irrepressible spirit. Despite the desolation around, he wrestles with his skepticism as the two forge an unlikely bond amidst their final days on the hill. Waters of Time is a poignant tale of resilience, friendship, and the enduring hope found in the face of inevitable change.
The Tides Are Rising.
By Catherine Lloyd.
By Catherine Lloyd. Every year, the BGCSE and the BJC has a top writer, top for the essay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every so often, I know SAC has released their stories for their top essay writer for the BGCSE and the BJC. And you're looking at these Bohemian youths and say, man, these are impressive
stories. They could write. Even the facilitators were impressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were like, these young people, they make our work easy.
Mm-hmm.
They could write.
But there are a number of Bohemians who say, man, being published is hard. Published is hard?
No, it's not. It's a matter of simply taking your time to work through your ideas. a lot of times we're intentional about certain things. We're intentional about our meal. Some of us intentional about exercise and how we eat. Let's be intentional about writing.
Mm-hmm.
You always hear a behemoth saying, "Man, I could write a book." Why don't you?
Hurry up, write it.
Yes,
be intentional. This Tides Are Rising by Catherine Noyce, a thick book.
Now, Catherine actually has an idea for an entire novel. So most of these,
mm-hmm.
they have ideas for a 26-chapter novel.
An extended.
Right, an extension of what they did. But because we were confined by time, this is what they were able to produce.
Now, this is number 6 of the books.
I noticed you saved that for last.
This feel like the one I ain't letting go of. It's called Summoned to Bahama, The Battle Against Anansi.
See, by anything Michael about Stubbs. Anansi, I'm excited. And congratulations to Michael Stubbs, whoever he is, right, choosing this subject, this title, Anansi.
Let me give you something about Michael. We hosted All Boys Day, and that was back in June. And one of the things we did an impromptu essay. They had like 15 minutes, and you had to write an essay, "Why Shouldn't I Join a Gang?"
Mm-hmm.
And we gave out, you know, trophies and prizes as a result. Michael was one of the top contenders. When he read his essay, it was so well organized. We had already selected our apprentices for this program.
Mm-hmm.
But when I heard it, I immediately said to my director, "I know we already selected our persons, but this boy needs to be in the writing program."
He needs
program.
To be in this program. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I asked him when he was finished, I said, "What are you doing in July?" He said, "Nothing much." I said, "Okay, you're going to be in my writing apprentice program."
So next year, there's going to be another writer's apprenticeship program?
Yes.
And let's just want to know, how can I get, say, my child? She doesn't like writing anyway. How does one get their child to participate, or at least vie to get a spot?
As long as you're 15.
So you have to be 15-ish.
You need to have your BJC.
BJC English, ABC.
C and above, yes.
Okay,
ABC.
Okay.
And when we put out the applications, you apply. And make sure you select writing.
So and the spots are limited?
The spots are limited.
So dear teachers, right, at the beginning of the year, right, the onus is on you. It's incumbent on you to keep your eyes and ears open. Identifying students, right? And if you see the grades are dropping, then you throw that out there and say, "Man, look here. I had my eyes on you for this intern program.
Yes.
But I need you to keep your grade up to this point."
Mm-hmm.
Got to keep the grade up to this point for you to get in that program, and keep encouraging them, because the worst thing is the student gets excited about it and then finds out they don't fit the criteria.
Mm. Yes.
The Department of Culture led by you, Department of Culture, because I know you have a team, and that's, let me choose my words, people in government school when you start giving people titles.
Division of Culture.
The Division of Culture and the team that you lead, mm-hmm. like you always sit in here and say, "Nuri, make space for these people," right?
Yes.
You all tend to be active.
Yes.
And busy.
Yes.
And working nonstop to make sure culture is promoted, Bahamian culture is promoted, and there are activities that Bahamians can be plugged into.
Yes.
Right? Why is that important? And why this concept was thought about?
Okay, several things. First of all, when you don't know who you are, you lose the essence of who you are. We have to transmit our culture. A lot of our young people, they don't know who they are. And they're assuming the identity of this movie star, this basketball player, this person, that person. We need to know who we are. The only way we can pave the way for our future and secure our future is by transmitting our culture. And a lot of times we have wonderful events, but you go away saying, "Ooh, we had a good time." But when you memorialize your culture in print, you will have that for generations.
So how important was it to record this, to, like you say, memorialize it in print? How important was it to record these stories written by these youngsters? Yeah.
It's important because we want everybody to be able to pick, to have access to this. And I also believe that these books will be placed on Amazon if they're not there as yet. Any Bahamian anywhere in the world, or anybody interested in Bahamian culture, Bahamian literature, can have access to this material.
Mm-hmm. Cecil, let me read the excerpt from the
blurb. She's so excited about
this. Give the title again.
The blurb from Summon to Bahama, The Battle Against Anansi by Michael Stubbs.
When you need to see the graphic for it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a movie. Yeah. When a group of Bahamian students and their teacher are mysteriously transported to a magical world based on Bahamian folklore, they meet Patrick Wells, an Obeah practitioner. He tasks them with defeating Anansi, a trickster spider god wreaking havoc in Bahama. With newfound magical powers, they face unexpected adversaries and tragic losses, forging a pact to restore peace to this enchanted realm and find a way back home. And listen, I almost get transported myself.
This is book one, okay? Mm-hmm. This is book one in a series.
I wonder if the executive of Bahama know this book exists. I know they'll buy the book out just to have it there available.
Right, for guests for and guests, in the libraries and the common areas. You ever been, like, you're supposed to get on the 14B, but you get on the 14A and a half?
Yeah,
and then you didn't get off at the right spot?
I have no but that.
Yeah, I almost didn't get off.
The difference between 10A and 10.
Yeah.
Booker in the Cable Beach, it's a different ride.
Absolutely.
Just that, you know, it's a different
but
ride.
But I almost didn't get off.
No, I'm envious of this particular title and the idea that he had it placed, taken place in Bahama or at Bahama, right? This guy is brilliant.
And one of the things I really appreciate about this, he tried to incorporate a lot of the mystical folklore characters.
Mm-hmm.
For example, he has the Gorlin woman and the Chickcharney and all of them. Mm-hmm. There's this big fantastic battle and war that is going to ensue between all of these mythical characters.
Mm-hmm.
And we've spoken about that before, Aaron, the need to have our Bahamian myths, Bahamian mythical creatures bring back to life, brought to life, right? And then see that someone took up the mantle and someone so young to take up this mantle and say, I'm going to write about it.
Yes.
I'm going to write about these creatures.
Because people don't believe me when I tell them my great-grandfather used to sell Chickcharneys to tourists. He was a customs officer. He filled out the paperwork and everything. Okay, listen, we're going to read just briefly. The eighth writer. So this is book number 7. I don't want to miss out the name of the eighth writer.
The eighth writer.
The Height Dream?
No. It's Mallory. By
Sashuana Williams. Okay, so somebody sent it to you?
Yeah, I see a picture of it. Yeah, I got a copy. I see a picture of it. I just don't have the blurb. So
here's the blurb.
Miss Williams. Okay, here we go.
Oh, you have it?
Yes,
oh.
I have the blurb.
Okay, let me just read this into the record.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
What's the author title again? It's Mallory.
Mallory. By
Sashuana.
Sashuana Williams.
Yes. I like that name.
Mallory is a compelling short story about the unlikely friendship between Andrew Roll and his deaf next door neighbor, Mallory Hannah.
Okay.
That's my cousin. These two spirited children, bound by their love for mischief and outdoor adventures, definitely my cousins, quickly become inseparable. Through their bond, Mallory helps Andrew discover a sense of self-worth and saviorhood. However, as friendship deepens into love, the line between affection and obsession blurs for Andrew, leading to a path of destruction for both him and his childhood best friend.
Well, that's a romance story.
Oh, wow. And suspense, right? Like, because it's suspenseful.
Yes.
You have to figure out what happened to them.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, wow. And it goes through the love story.
And there's all young authors.
These are young authors.
Mm. Okay, nice. Could this go? What you reading there?
I went to read the intro, like the first.
For that Nancy?
Yeah, because it's so Bahamian. The bus buzzed after a school-mandated field trip downtown to the Museum of Culture. As some students were discussing and ranting about what they did and some fun facts they learned about their country, a lanky boy sitting in the back of the bus, annoyed by the chatter of his classmates' conversations, slumped in his chair so that the head boy nor the teacher could see him swiftly stick his earphones into his ears. From his earphones, the faint sound of Bahamian music wafted through the bus like the smell of a freshly baked pan of Johnny bread on a Sunday morning. Slowly, the music consumed the entire bus. The sound of the music inevitably made its way to the ears of the exhausted and disheveled teacher. Irate, the teacher called out, "Daniel!" Springing up out of his seat, the head boy responded, "Yes, sir." Slightly shocked by how quickly Daniel appeared, the teacher jumped, irritatingly saying, "Find the source of that music and tell the owner to turn it off." Believing the music wasn't a problem, Daniel retorted softly, "But Mr. Gibson, sir, it ain't even loud." And cutting Daniel off, Mr. Gibson exasperatedly proclaimed, "I didn't ask if it was loud or not. I said to find and turn off the music." Defeatedly, Daniel responded, "Yes, sir." In search of the music, Daniel walked down the aisle, I'd reading 2 pages ahead. This is a freshly printed book, Mr. Newry. Down the aisle of the bus, the further down the aisle he went, the louder the music became. So he knew he was getting closer to the source. This continued until Daniel reached the back of the bus. The music crescendoed, and when he found the culprit and source of the music, the school's resident band leader, Kelsey, who fell asleep in the back of the bus listening to his music. As Daniel was about to wake Kelsey up, a voice inquired, "What you doing?" Curious, Daniel turned around to find the source of the voice. "If you must know, I'm waking him up so he can turn off his music, like Mr. Gibson say." As Daniel turned around, he recognized the face behind the voice as Kelsey's girlfriend, the school's star athlete, Markwell. As confused, Markwell retorted, "But why, though? It ain't bothering nobody." Resigned, Daniel explained, "I know. I tried telling Mr. Gibson that, but he didn't care. He's still telling me to turn it off." "That makes no sense at all," Markwell grumbled. "But all right, let me wake him instead." Curious, he asked, "Why?" "Because he could get real vexed and lash out," she warned. Assuming she was joking, Daniel chuckled lightly. "I'm sure I'll be fine. What's the worst he could do?" Daniel confidently turned around and proceeded to sit Kelsey's limp body up in the chair and try to wake him up. As Markwell sat behind him as quietly as a mouse, knowing what would happen, well, Kelsey awoke. Daniel tapped Kelsey on his shoulder and waited a while, but nothing happened. Confused, he turned his head back to look at Markwell, who shrugged her shoulders with a mischievous grin plastered on her face from ear to ear. Annoyed, he sucked his teeth and turned his head back to face Kelsey and started slapping his cheek. He started soft, but then gradually increased the intensity when he wouldn't wake up. After a minute of tapping him, Daniel steeled his nerves and slapped Kelsey as hard as he could. Kelsey arose and his fight or flight reflexes kicked in immediately and he punched the closest thing to himself, which unfortunately happened to be Daniel. Blood dripping from his nose, Daniel yelped in pain. Kelsey scowled at Daniel. "Move, boy. I don't want your blood on me." Angrily, Daniel shouted, "Boy, you's the reason my nose bleeding now." I just imagine Baintown Woman playing in the background from the headphones.
Great visuals.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Visuals. And to know that these are young adults,
behemoth adults. They could write.
Yes.
They could write.
I think this is the second time that I know of, recent time, that you have produced books, published books in recent time, right? Is there any grants? Are you have a target audience, target people who you want to publish books? Or is this for adults too? Because I know you target youth, right?
Yes.
Youth, sports, and culture.
Yes.
So if I'm older school, is this program for me? Or you right now, you're concentrating on Bohemian youth?
Okay, so there are several things that we have. We do have a small grants program where we give you a small amount of funds to assist you with publishing. If you're an adult and you're writing a book or you've completed your book, and you're ready to publish, you can apply for a grant.
Okay.
So we do assist persons in that regard. Now, our focus in the next year or so is novel writing. We find a lot of persons apply for grants to publish devotionals, motivational books.
I didn't even know you all have a grant program at the Ministry of Culture.
Poetry, short stories. But we want to increase the number of Bohemian novelists.
Books. Real writing books.
So we have a program that we're trying to coordinate. And we, if you are out there and you want to write a novel, you need to make contact with us because we have something coming up.
Numbers to call? You got a number very quickly?
Yes. 502-0601. And you can ask for Miss Sands.
Okay, we're going to take a short break coming, and we conclude with some more information about how to participate, right? Especially for next year. This is Guardian Radio AM. We're talking to Ms. Portia Sands, Assistant Director of Culture at the Ministry Department of Culture, Ministry of Youth, Sport, and Culture. We'll be right back. They just published eight books after the summer program. We're excited about that. I won't get one of these books, or if not all eight. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM, and we're talking to Assistant Director of Culture, Ms. Portia Sands. We're talking about the eight books that the Ministry of Culture, Youth, Sports, and Culture published, right? It was a summer program that they had, mm-hmm. where they had about 15 people who applied, but eight students actually participated, mm-hmm. right? And they were able to publish eight books. Give me the list of names again, Erin, quickly for me, please.
Okay, here we go. We've got Tides Are Rising by Catherine Lloyd. Mallory, Mallory, Mallory by Sashuana Williams. The Everything Fairy by Maisha McPhee. A Strange Encounter by Cameron Hall. Renewed Farewells by Janelle Williams. The Height of a Dream by Devanya Mackey. Adeline's Prophecy by Esther Goodman. And Summoned to Bahama, The Battle Against Anansi. And then I say Tides Are Rising by Catherine Lloyd. I gotta make sure mm-hmm. I said that one too.
Did you call Sashua? Ready?
Yes. Yes. Mallory, Mallory, Mallory by Sashuana Williams.
And Ms. Sands, where can they Bohemians purchase these books?
These books can be purchased from the All Bohemian Bookstore through the Pages. It's on Bay Street. It's 3 doors east of East Street.
Okay. And if I want to know more what the Department of Culture is doing in the next couple of weeks, where can I get any social media page or anything like that?
Certainly. Please follow us on our Facebook page, Division of Cultural Affairs Bahamas. And we also post information on the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture Facebook page.
Okay. And for the summer program, because now I know a number of people participate, and this is a summer program, right?
Yes.
I guess we can read about what happened this past summer. And I guess you'll update us on what's happening in the future.
Yes. This program will be repeated for as long as we can. Mm-hmm. And so summer applications usually come out around April, May. So once you follow us on our Facebook page, we would post that information. And you got to just be quick.
So y'all are having no Christmas writers short story competition?
We're going to have a number of things this Christmas, dealing mm-hmm. with, December is National Cultural Heritage Month. Right. And so we have a number of initiatives planned, but we do have about 3 things that we want to do for literary writing, specifically mm-hmm. for literary writing. We're still putting some of it together, but certainly the novel writing series is one of the things that we want to be able to put mm-hmm. put out there.
I'm thinking you need to have the same intern program for retirees, like how you do it mm-hmm. for that category called youth, mm-hmm. right, from retiree age and up, so 65 to the Tree Score and 10 gang, and intern them, stipend them, pay them, and see how many short stories we can generate from that generation of people.
I like
well,
that
here, well, here's what we did 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we put it out there for anybody, a national anthology of short stories.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave every we had more than 100 applicants. We chose about 38 mm-hmm. pieces, and we put together a national anthology. And every person was given a stipend if we use their story.
Mm-hmm. And where can I get that book?
Through the Pages, bookstore, same bookstore, as well as the National Arts Gallery store.
Okay, the National Anthology, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I would hear briefly, quickly again about this grant. You're saying that there are grants that the Department of Culture
yes.
gives out? And briefly explain that again for me.
Okay, so we have two grant sessions. This one is open right now on My Gateway.
Okay, right. On My Gateway.
My Gateway.
Okay.
So you'd have to go to My Gateway and you have to apply.
All right.
It will close August 31st. It will reopen in January and will close the end of February. Good. So those are two sessions.
That has been Assistant Director Portia Sands from the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture. Thank you very much. We'll talk again about these books again. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We now break for the news. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.